rallying his Vietnamese troops against the Chinese, 11th century. Near Bennelong Point, Sydney, on the night of the 7th of April 1967, a young Australian soldier and his girlfriend were saying goodbye. They sat hand in hand under a giant fig tree at Mrs. Macquarie's chair, overlooking Garden Island Wharf, where HMAS Sydney, lit up like a giant passenger cruiser, was docked and waiting. It was sunset, one of those brilliant sunsets that seemed perfectly to fit the contours of Sydney, as though the city itself had been designed as the backdrop for a soldier's sad farewell. The white curves of the Opera House were then half-built, yet already suggested shells or sails on a fantastic scale. The harbour bridge, dark and stern in the background, seemed to frown on the burgeoning wonder by the quay, and all was young and golden in the fading light, until the sun, as if on cue, dutifully disappeared with a last orange blast beneath the bridge. The day expired, and the stars emerged. Private John Binney, 21, a grazier's son from Singleton, and a member of the 5th intake of National Servicemen, was due on the ship at 10 p.m. The deadline passed. "I'm not leaving yet," he told Victoria, his girlfriend of 3 weeks, and he embraced the attractive 18-year-old he already knew as Vic. "John kept saying to me, 'You don't want to fall in love with a soldier,'" Victoria said 40 years later. "We sat holding hands," she recalled, "and feeling quite desperate. It was a beautiful night." Would they meet again after his tour in Vietnam? The question of marriage lingered unsaid. They were barely out of school. As 11 p.m. approached, the couple walked hand in hand back to the boat. Binney, along with several hundred members of his battalion, then boarded the Sydney, the Vung Tau ferry, bound for South Vietnam. He was charged for being late, and next morning ordered to chip the rust off the deck. The next day, Victoria and Binney's father said a last goodbye on the wharf, then drove up to South Head, where they watched the great ship slip out of Sydney Harbour and turn north. "His father absolutely couldn't speak," Victoria recalled. Binney's mother stayed at home, weeping inconsolably. "She adored John," Victoria said. "She couldn't come to see him leave." Later that day, Victoria went to visit her. She started drinking heavily the morning after he left for Vietnam. David Llewellyn similarly departed for Vietnam on HMAS Sydney in 1968. His memory of the ship pulling away resonates with many. "The sailors lined the deck facing out to sea, and the soldiers faced the wharf and their loved ones down below. I felt a huge ache in my stomach, and as the ship started to move, I could hear this deep sobbing coming from one of the soldiers. It sounded so sad, and it was almost as if he was voicing the distress of all of us on our behalf. I had a few moments to settle down, and then the plaintive sound of a lone piper standing at the very end of the wharf came across the water. Those sounds will stay with me forever. The farewell was particularly poignant, as it was my wife of 3 months I was leaving behind." Paul Murphy, the youngest of three children raised in Canberra, worshipped his father. A mild-mannered, Labour-voting engineer is how Murphy remembers him. After leaving school, Murphy joined an insurance company, but the lure of adventure led him to volunteer for national service. "I was young. I wanted to go to Vietnam." One Saturday morning in late August 1966, Murphy returned home on leave from infantry training. News of the Battle of Long Tan had just reached Australia. "When Dad heard the news," Murphy recalled, "he kicked my bedroom door in and shouted, 17 blokes have been fucking killed and you want to go to Vietnam?" It was the only time I ever saw him cry. Murphy's departure was awkward and very low-key. "You were given an hour at the airport with your family. We stood around. My brother, sister and my girlfriend all came. Dad steeled himself.